But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. The Lord, take his little finger and stir your pot. You won't even know which way you're going. Yes, sir. You think you're serving the Lord. Preachers all over the place stand in the pulpit. Well, we don't want to hurt anybody. Why don't you just quit? Why don't they? Listen, you say, well, those are God-called men of God. I don't know if they are or not. You're welcome very much. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. That's the introduction. Now I'll preach you a nice friendly message on the fear of the Lord. Well, I better not preach it out of Matthew though. Proverbs, we'll get to Matthew though. Proverbs chapter number 1. I thought I had it marked, but I didn't. Proverbs chapter number 1. And look at verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't tell me what to do. Fools despise. Listen, the guy that won't be told what to do is a fool. Is a fool, is a fool. You say, listen, the Bible says that. The Bible says that. The Bible says that. That's what the Bible says. You know why people don't believe that? They don't fear the Lord. Well, I just think, well, you and what you think is going to wind up in a ditch.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That's right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. The Bible says they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. I wish we could get to that verse 9 tonight, but we won't get there. But eventually we will get there. Verse number 9. You know how you get to grace? I don't believe you can find grace till you find the fear of the Lord. I don't believe you can. And I'm going to show you that. But just to sum it up, he says in verse 8, you hear the instruction, you forsake not the law, instruction and the law, instruction and the law, instruction and the law, they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. He says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Well, what's the context? Verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Say, I'd like to have knowledge about how to run my home. Do you fear God? You'll learn though. You'll learn, amen. You will. Amen. But listen, you want to know how to build a church? The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. You want to know how to build a church? Fear the Lord. You can't build a church without fear. You can't build a family without the fear of the Lord. Want to build a town? Where do I get knowledge? Fear of the Lord. I mean, just start off right there. Now, if I'm going to build a family, I wouldn't want to do nothing to cause God to knock me over the head, would you? Well, that's the safest place to start then, ain't it? Now, let me see. Let's see if we can make God happy. And let's start us a little family here. Let me get Susie and Jill and Barbara and Joni. And let me marry them all at one time and see if we can get... You think that's going to please the Lord? No, sir. The fear of the Lord would say, well, let me get this one woman right here and marry her. One of the most foolish things ever been done by the most wise man there is. I don't understand that much, but he multiplied wives like the Lord said not to do. That human nature runs deep, don't it? That, you know what that means? If you're super smart, you got to be careful. I think one of the best things you can be on this planet is just to be dumb as a stump and fear the Lord. Because if you're the wisest man on the planet, like Solomon, you can be just about smart enough to think you've got some riddle figured out, some equation figured out, and he spent the whole book of Ecclesiastes trying to figure out, and after he figured it out, what in the world to do but go marry about 1,000 people. Blockhead, just be dumb as a stump and fear the Lord. Amen. Well, what are you going to do when you're going to start a church? Well, we'll make it about psychology. No, you shouldn't do that, because God done said he knew what was in man and there wasn't nothing to him. You better leave psychology alone.
Amen.
Your mind's going to change. Imagine trying to psychoanalyze yourself and getting yourself figured out, and then wake up tomorrow and figure out you're a different person. You know that's who you are every single day. Listen, we got to leave this psychology stuff alone in the church.
Amen.
People are changeable like the weather. People probably change their emotions more than they change their underwear. That's right. You'll be happy today. You'll be sad tomorrow. You'll be in a given mood the day after that. You'll be selfish the day after that. You just forget about it. There ain't no use in psychoanalyzing you. You're plumb crazy anyway. We can all just say that. Every one of us crazy as an old loon. Every single one of us. You and your mama too. Every one of you. Just, right. So leave the psychology alone. Your mind's messed up because Adam fell in the garden.
Right.
Amen? And the smarter you think you are, the less smart you are.
Right.
He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And these guys say, well, the fear of the Lord, that just means to respect the Lord. Well, turn over to Proverbs chapter number 8, and let's get a good definition of what the fear of the Lord is. And I'm just going to say, listen, at the end of this message, everybody in the room ought to have their head bowed or be on the altar or something, because this is where we're going to get right at right here. If we're going to get right, if we're going to go forward, if we're going to get people saved, whatever. I mean, I've been struggling with that for the last 6 weeks. Why did people stop getting saved right here? And we hadn't emphasized the fear of the Lord. Please get saved because Jesus died for your sins. Why would they get saved? They're not afraid. Why would they repent of their sins and not afraid?
Right.
Them people out there living in the world claiming to be Christians, I mean, they say they're Christians, they go to church on Easter and Christmas, and you try to talk to them, get them to church, they say, I'm all right. The problem is, all they've had is a bunch of redneck Christians come by and pat them on the back and say, you want to go to church with us? No, I don't believe I will. Okay, have a good day. And there's no consequences to that. They don't fear God. Listen, there was a time in this country where if you went to visit somebody and said, hey, you know the Lord, don't you? They said, no, they said, well, you're fixing to go to hell. They wouldn't sit there for 3 months building solid relationships. They said, hey, buddy, you better get saved today. Take them over to the book of Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 1 and say, today's the day of salvation. You're not promised tomorrow. You can die in your sleep tonight.
Right.
God laughed off, oh, preacher, they ain't nothing to that, and walk out, and that fella go to bed that night with his knees knocking together, sweat coming off his brow.
That's right.
Proverbs chapter number 8, Proverbs chapter number 12, Proverbs chapter number 8, and let's look in verse number 13, let's get us a good definition. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Where's reverence? Anybody see the word reverence? Anybody see the word awe in there? A-W-E. I think that means awesome, but down south we use it like all shucks. All shucks, it ain't in the verse, is it? That might be country cussing, so I won't use that kind of language too much. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. To hate pride. To hate, you see those two little dots after evil, don't you? That means he's going to repeat all that. So the fear of the Lord is to hate pride. The fear of the Lord is to hate arrogancy. The fear of the Lord is to hate all the evil ways. See that? And the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. A froward mouth. A loose, just go anywhere kind of mouth. People hate that. You know, like some of your sports heroes. I'm the greatest, man. I'm the best. I'm the greatest. God said, if you feared the Lord, you would hate stuff like that. You know what, though? Most Christians love to hear somebody just brag. Hey, I've done this. I've done that. I've done this. And most preachers just full of that stuff. I've done this one time and I've done that. And just say anything, no matter how filthy or how vile, like some of your rap stars and stuff like that that's got its hooks into just about everybody. I mean, this old junk that's been put out there, just say anything, do it. The Bible says you ought to hate it. Why should you hate it? Because God hates it. I'm the greatest. That's that Muhammad Ali, Floyd Mayweather kind of thought. I'm so great. You ain't nothing.
That's right.
You ain't nothing. Listen, I'll tell you right now, I'm one of the best Christians. I witness to people. I do this. You ain't nothing, man. You ain't nothing. We can use me an example if you want to, but listen, if you're the very best preacher there is and the very best witness that there is, if you're the greatest Bible reader and the best prayer that there is, I mean, you've got it all put together. Listen, if you was to be riding with me, in that boat when that storm, you need to be down in the bottom of the boat with me, screaming and begging God for mercy. Because grace, I mean, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. When you've done all that you've been commanded to do, you're to say, we're unprofitable servants.
Yeah,
we're self-esteem in that. You ain't no count, man. You ain't no count.
Yeah.
You know what most of your problems in churches today is? Little bitty ministers in the church thinking they got it figured out better than everybody else does. It's a wonder God hadn't killed you.
Yeah.
Oh, if they would only do it this way. Shut your mouth! Little people coming in, sitting in the, hadn't witnessed to nobody, hadn't prayed, hadn't read their Bible, come in, sit down in churches, got the little hawk eye at the preacher, what's he going to say? What's he going to do? When's he going to move us? I mean, what's going to, shut your mouth, man. You don't got no right to say nothing. If it wasn't for the grace of God, God would kill you.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
You're supposed to come to the house of God with fear. With fear, with fear, with fear. Verse just come to my mind. I hope it's a good one. I hope it's the one I think it is anyway. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven. Remember, he that sits in the heaven shall laugh. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Come to God's house, shut up. Just be quiet. I said that with a smile. Amen. Amen. You know why people run their mouth about preachers nowadays? You know why people run their mouth about other Christians? You know why you ain't afraid to look over in the next aisle to you to where somebody saved by the grace of God is? You know why you're not afraid to open your mouth and put them down and think you can do it better and you have done it better? You know why? Because you don't fear God. You just don't fear God. Next thing you know, I'll be a prophet, and I'll tell you what's fixing to happen. You fixing to go through the roughest spell you ever had.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You sit and look down your little nose at somebody. Oh, I don't think they ought to wear glasses like that. I don't think they ought to wear clothes like that. And you just let your heart. What you mean is, now listen. You're trying to live for God. Somebody comes in immodest. You ought to recognize that as immodest. But here's the thing: most Christians that are doing that, they done got. What they done comparing? You're not comparing people to godliness or comparing people to modesty. You're comparing them to yourself.
Yeah.
Just as soon as you do that, you go, "Well, they don't dress like I do, and I've got." Boy, I tell you what, you're in trouble. You're heading for the hardest trouble you've ever been in.
You'll probably spend 6 months backslid before you even realize you are backslid.
Yeah.
And then if you get right with God, it'll be by the grace of God. I'll tell you that. He said, when you come to God's house, be careful. You know why people don't? People just speak right up this day and time.
Right.
I know I noticed it while it was happening, but it just didn't register to me. It didn't register to me how dangerous it was. You know, I know you probably all have got telephone poles out in your front yard, just something you get used to. You go out on some of these hunting clubs where they got these telephone poles that's about this big around. You can't even hug them. And you go up there and they got 20 or 30 lines hanging on. You get next to them things and just, you can hear them go. Instant death. You know what it is. You wouldn't climb up there and touch it for nothing. I've been next to some people. If I would have realized what was going on, it would have been just like that little hum in my ears. You better get away because you're fixing to get slapped. You're fixing to get zapped from fire from on high. But just stand next to somebody and just hear, well, that old fellow right there, he don't know. Just rattle off some just foolish ungodliness, comparing them to themselves. Well, I don't think like that. I don't do like that. I don't see it that way. Happens all the time. It happens all the time. It's happened right in here. Yes, sir.
Listen, we got folks that are out tonight. I don't want to say anything that would make you think anything about any one in particular person. We got people out because of the fire. We got people out that have been evacuated, and they're 50 miles from here, and I don't blame them for being out. But listen, we got some people that are not here tonight because they don't fear God. They just ain't afraid to say, I don't agree with that. I don't think that way, and I got my own ideas. And they're talking like a devil. Who don't fear God. That, you know, that's the problem with the devil, don't you? You know, somebody asked me one time, do you think the devil could get right with God? There is no possible way that the devil could ever get right with God. But what if the devil come to... The Bible says the devil is wiser than Daniel. He's got wisdom. He's got a savvy mind. He can think. He can formulate. There's no possible way for the devil to get right with God, though, because he don't fear. The Bible said he was made without fear. I don't know what God was experimenting with or what his intent was, but when God made the devil, he said this, I think I'll make this one without fear. And there ain't nothing else on the planet that's made that way except for one thing, a cottonmouth snake. That sucker will come after you. And I think if there's anything more clearly a sign of the devil or a picture of the devil, it's that cottonmouth. I shot at one with a 9mm pistol and missed it. Got right by his head. I didn't get close to him. I shot from like 30 feet away. And that sucker turned around and came at me. With a pistol in my hand. Well, if I missed him taking careful aim, I wasn't going to take no chances on pot shot. I gave him the ground. I surrendered. Retreat. You say, why? Because he was braver than me. But the devil can't get right because he ain't afraid. That's why people will not get right with God right now. They're full of the devil. They just don't fear. They don't fear. They're not afraid to say anything. Not afraid to say it. Well, where was I at? Proverbs chapter 8. I've only been preaching 16 minutes. Well, it's only been 16 minutes since I hit record. Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Well, I got under conviction about this. I've been trying not to get my remote control in my hand, because if that ain't a description of Hollywood, I don't know what it is. Got awful quiet right there, didn't it? Pride, arrogancy. The Bible says if you feared the Lord, you hate those things. I look at my television. What program can I watch now that's not full of that kind of stuff? I'm in trouble. I'm going to have to get right with the Lord, ain't I? I'm eventually going to have to cut that thing all the way out, ain't I? Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help you too. You're sitting there thinking the same thing, ain't you? You better be. Oh, I'll tell you right. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, that preacher ain't. Listen, don't say you ain't. Why don't you just say this? I'll pray about that, preacher. You don't have to pray about it. You know I'm right. Listen, anybody that grew up listening to the preachers preach in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, and in the early 80s, they told you this very same thing. That thing's all the way rotten. I'll be the first one to tell you. I'm not going to bear down on this too hard tonight, because I've got that addiction too. Got to turn on Andy Griffith. We're going to have to work on that, ain't we? No fear. Why don't you just say, I'll pray about that, preacher. What was it they was putting on the windows in 1995? No fear? Yes, sir. You couldn't get a better testimony than that. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Do you hate evil? It's to hate pride. Do you hate pride? It's to hate arrogancy in the evil way. Do you hate those things? And the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. Look at this. I am understanding. See what you get with the Lord when you fear Him? He says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Remember a couple of weeks ago I preached to you, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's where it is. That's where it comes from. I have strength. I have strength. You can't get to it without the fear of the Lord. Hey, listen, just come and say this little prayer and you can get saved. And you're not telling people that they ought to fear. They're never going to get to that place of strength. They're never going to get to that place to the sound mind. They're never going to get to the place of joy. They're never going to get to the place of comfort. They're never going to get there. They're never going to get there until they find the fear of the Lord. They're never going to get there. They're going to go to church and it ain't going to be there. They're going to go to a prayer meeting and it ain't going to be there. They're going to listen to you preach for 6 months, and at the end of that 6 months, their lives are still going to be in the ditch, and their minds are still going to be in the depths of despair and depression, and they're going to decide, you don't know what you're talking about, I'll go find it some other place. And they'll go to a more liberal church or to a more liberal organization, and every time they'll think they're about to get the prize, hopelessness. And that can end anywhere. That can end at the end of a bottle. It can end at the end of a pistol. It can end in a lot of places. But it don't end with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You want joy in your life. You want peace. You want strength. You want power. It's through the fear of the Lord. Anything you want to know about starts right there. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, and let's look, let's see. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number, see where I want to start here. Let's start in verse number 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. You ever heard a mother say this, or a father, a mother? I've heard women and men say it. I've heard them say, I will not ever let my children go through what I went through when I was a child. Now, there are some things, abuse, certain things like that, that you shouldn't. Amen? If you had some kind of abuse, you certainly shouldn't allow that to go on in your child's life. But when 9 times out of 10, when I've heard that said, they meant whoopings. They meant working hard. And I will grant you, when I was 12 years old working in the tobacco patch for $24 a week, I did have the thought, my kids ain't going to do this. But I'll tell you what, my kids need to go hoe a couple rows in the tobacco patch. Amen. Not that I want to promote tobacco or anything like that, but I got some potatoes that need hoeing, girls. See, what people are saying, I don't see how a grown man can get grown up, have good discipline, have a good work ethic, have a good head on his shoulders about taking care of his family, and then say, wind up in a good place and not want his kids to go in the same spot.
Right.
I don't understand that much. So you want to spoil them so they'll turn out the opposite of you. Is that what it is? You know, but I bring that up because of this. A lot of people think Jesus died on the cross so you'd never have to suffer. But the Lord said, you're not above your master. You're not above your master. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, it is for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him but also to suffer for His sake. One of the plans that God has for us as Christians, God be merciful to me as I preach this, is that we suffer a little something. Now how are you going to fit that into your message of self-esteem and your message of God wants to, you know, prosper you and all? Where are you going to fit that in at? You ain't going to fit it in because it's not true. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above. You know what? I just got the sneaking suspicion that for some reason we've got our principles out of order. A lot of people this day and time, they think their children are better than they are. Your children ain't better than you are. If they're better than you are, I'll just tell you what. Hey, listen, give them a belt and let them whoop you then. You're supposed to bring them up. I don't know why I thought I'd stop on this, but hey, you've got a responsibility to bring up your children in nurture and admonition and discipline. That's your responsibility. First. Well, I think I'll just be my kid's friend. Yeah, okay. I hope you can maintain that friendliness through that little thick glass plate at the penitentiary.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that's where they headed to.
Right.
That's exactly right. You know how you raise hellion kids? Treat them like they're better than you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know how you raise hellion Christians? Treat them like they're better than Jesus. Oh, now you don't want to holler at no Christians and upset them and offend them. You mean you can't holler at a Christian because he's a sinner? But you can nail Jesus to the cross because he's not a sinner? What kind of sense does that make? That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Don't let anybody ever talk you out of hollering about sin. If everybody leaves, you'll have the most righteous church on the planet. Amen? The disciple's not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? They're going to call you names. When you're out there preaching on the street, if you're doing the job you're supposed to do, they're going to holler at you every once in a while. If you're going to preach from the pulpit, every once in a while you're going to have families decide to move their membership down the road. Amen? You're going to have them run out in the community saying, well, that mean old preacher out there, he done this and he done that. Just let him talk. As far as God's concerned, that's a badge of honor. They called Jesus Beelzebub. They called him the Lord of the devils. They called him the Lord. He was the chief devil to them. What do you reckon he was saying? I mean, I think that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is just a brief account. I would have liked to have been there every step of the way to hear what he said. He must have been a pretty rough customer. They called him the prince of the devils. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? They're going to call you bad stuff. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. You know, I'm going to tell you this. I had a fellow one time come and ask me to do a job, and I went to do the job for him, and he told me exactly the way he wanted it done, and I started doing it the way he wanted it done. And about halfway through the job, the man that owned the building come out there and started raising Cain because it wasn't getting done. What I was doing, I was putting on a roof. They said, hey, put the roof on over the old roof. You can do that. That's perfectly all right up to a certain level. I mean, if you got 20 layers of shingles, you might want to tear them off. But if you got one layer and sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes even two layers, you can go over top of them. This house had one layer of shingles on it. And I started laying down them shingles over top of that. Had one big complex done and was starting on that, just about halfway done with the second building. And the guy comes out there, oh no, he's putting them on top. I wanted it tore off. And so the guy that hired me to do the job turned around and started fussing at me. And it turned into not about a roofing job, but you Baptist all the time. And oh, he cussed me up one side and down the other. And I was like, now where in the world did this come? Not just the other day, hey, you're a good preacher, and hey, I appreciate you, brother, and all this stuff. Want you to come do that? That was to get a low price, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
And now, oh, you Baptists are always this, and I'm thinking, where in the world did this come from? I thought this fella loved the Lord. I mean, he sings about the Lord, and you got to watch him singers.
Yeah.
Oh, but anyway, you know what? That thing bothered me, and you know, for years after that thing, Man, I really hate that, and I hope there ain't nothing. And did talk to him a time or two after that, and there was always that little uneasiness there, that little tension or something. I'm thinking, my goodness, for 5 or 6 years, I wondered what that thing was all about. Then I found out he is messing around with kids. But I'm the bad Baptist. And so bad that hollered across a whole complex of apartment buildings. You Baptists, you always fussing at people and calling people back. And underneath that, molesting his own children. What does that say right there? He said, they called the Lord Beelzebub. He said, but don't be afraid because there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. You know what that tells me? You better get stuff right. That fella, after he hollered at me that day, he should have went home and got right with God. Oh God, help me and forgive me. I got right over something Friday night, got right over it again Sunday night, and the day before I had to come to church, I said, God, help me with that, because I'm going to need some help. It's the best thing for you to do is get right. Amen? Because that stuff will cause you to be high-minded and stop fearing God, and God will bring something out on you that you don't want brought out. He says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. You don't get your sermons from Maxwell and Joel Osteen. You get them from God.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. I didn't hear too many amens there. You probably wish this sermon was over, but God didn't say for it to be over yet. He said, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's who you ought to be afraid of. And I don't see no reverence or no awe in there. Now, you help yourself, honey, in reverencing and be in awe of him. You ought to be doing that anyway. But you know what F-E-A-R means in the English language? I don't care how you use it. It means fear. Every time I ride through North Carolina, I see that Cape Fear water basin up there at Cape Fear. And I thought, man, somebody must have been afraid the first time they tried to sail up there. I don't know how that thing got its name, but if I was to be on the boat on Cape Fear, I think I'd get off. I can't remember where it's at. It might be the Horn of Africa. They changed the name of it to the Cape of Good Hope. You know why they did that? So people wouldn't be afraid to sail around it anymore. People, navigators wouldn't sail around it because it was wrought with storms and people was afraid. They said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll call it the Cape of Good Hope. Oh, well, that's better. It's like seeing a sign that says bridge out and going up there and pacing over and saying everything's okay. Come on. Oh, well, that's better. Just drive right off the edge. That's what people do. God say, I'm going to judge sin. God say, the wages of sin is death. God say, you reap what you sow. God say, you sow to the flesh and you shall of the flesh reap corruption. He says, you reject my son, you'll go to hell. And preachers are up there saying, and this way to the Cape of Good Hope.
Yeah, that's right.
And here goes Christians. They just sail right on down through life, just doing it the way they want to do it. Would you please stop doing it the way you want to do it? You don't have to do it the way Brother Mike does it, but do it the way your Bible says do it. Pray about things. Hey, God, what about this? Somebody preaches on something you're doing, tells you ought not do it. Go home, get down on your face. Ask God, should I do it this way or not? You see somebody doing something, you wouldn't do it that way? Oh God, please help them to understand. Don't backbite them and fuss at them and I would do it this and I would do it that. You're in trouble. You are in trouble. You say, well, what if I don't fear God? That doesn't make any difference. Not fearing God doesn't stop the judgment of God. That's the issue that really I want to get across, is that people are preaching not to fear. People are preaching not to worry. People are preaching not to worry about the preacher when he preaches against. Hey, if somebody got a standard you don't agree with, just don't worry about it. People are preaching that, but the results of sin is still the same, whether you believe it or not. The wages of sin is still death, whether you believe it or not, whether you're afraid or not, because God isn't afraid of you. God said, He said, the kings of this world say, we're going to break his bands. And God says, I'll be up here laughing, waiting for you to try it. When I get done, he said, I'm going to have you in derision. I'm going to have you in derision. Hey, I'm going to run my family the way I want to run it. Listen, God's going to have you in derision. Hey, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to get what I want out of it. Hey, God's going to have you in derision. Hey, I'm going to do this just exactly the way I want to do it. God is going to have you in derision. God's going to have you. Not Brother Mike. Your obedience is not going to slow me down or speed me up one way or the other. But it's God that you have to deal with. It's God that, so I'm not going to get saved. Well, God's going to have you in derision. I'm not going to give my life to the Lord. God is going to have you in derision. God called you to preach and you put more emphasis on other things than preaching. God is going to have you in derision. God is going to have His way. God's going to have His way. God's going to have His way. You know why God don't have His way in our life? Because we're not afraid. We are not afraid. We've got our own plans. And we're going to have those plans. It doesn't make any difference what in the world it is. We're going to have our plans. We're going to have our dreams come true. We're going to do what we've set our heart on doing. But God is going to have His intervention. He's going to have His way. He's going to have His way. There's a lady on, I guess it's on Facebook. Brother Curtis told me about it. There is a lady on Facebook who's putting this St. George stuff as the wrath of God. Brother Curtis is loving it. He's eating it up because he's getting in fusses and arguments sitting around St. George. Everybody says, this lady, she's saying it's the wrath of God. We hate that. And Brother Curtis saying, well, you don't reckon this is the blessings of the Lord, do you? Does this look what happens? Does this look like the blessings of the Lord here with the whole world burning down around you? Listen, if you've got a 400,000 acre fire burning on your back door, it's time to get right with God.
Yeah.
It's time to say, hey, wait a minute, could this be the hand of God? But if you said that on the national news, you'd have to get up and apologize for it the next day. People just don't think. Well, I'm going to do it my way. And 100,000 acres on fire right at your back doors. Well, this is just something that we need to pull together and get through. I like to see you pull together and get through hell.
Yeah, right.
How you going to do that? How you going to do that? The wages of sin is death. How you going to pull together and get through something like that? You can't do it. You say, well, I won't be moved. I know a lot of people won't be moved. A lot of people will not be moved. When they leave tonight, they'll be thinking about how agitated they are because they had to sit here an extra minute or two. Not agitated about the fact that God might actually give them a bump or a bruise down the road someplace. I don't understand that. I don't understand that logic at all. Brother Nathan's down at the altar. He's not going to play, but I'll give you an opportunity to come. Would you come? I think basically the prayer tonight should be, God, help me. Help me to understand the beginning of the...